Grace, mercy, and peace, these are God's gifts to you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, ready or not, here it comes, Advent and Christmas, which means that know it or not this morning, here it comes also today, the last day of the church calendar. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? We live on a January to December calendar in most of our lives, and yet here in the church, whether we know it or not, whether we've kind of given attention to it or not, we live by a slightly different calendar, a different rhythm. It begins next Sunday, a new year of the church calendar, which means that today, a year of the church calendar ends. Yes, memorable or not, helpful or not, the church has a calendar. It would be good then to remember it if we hope that it will be helpful. It goes something like this. I actually learned it as a child in Lutheran grade school in a little song that I'm not going to attempt to sing for you now. But it goes, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost. And the song says, now we're back to Advent, but the song actually misses then a whole big long season from Pentecost till now, which is called, kind of uninspired fashion, it's called ordinary time. But then again, a lot of our lives have a lot of that, doesn't it? Don't they? Ordinary time. Let me run you down through those again. Advent, which here in America has become Christmas early. Advent isn't Christmas early. Advent is the church waiting and longing and listening to the prophecies of a Messiah who will come. And now watching for that Messiah. Christmas, the Messiah is born. His name is Jesus, for he will save God's people from their sins. Epiphany. So kind of a weird word, except for maybe you've heard somebody say it, or maybe you've said it yourself. I've had an epiphany. A light bulb has gone off. And so in Epiphany, we celebrate that this Christ child is a light for all, for the Jews and the Gentiles. But then where is this whole Jesus man endeavor going? Luke has a really incredible line about midway through Luke where he says, and Jesus set his face resolutely toward Jerusalem. Lent, Jesus turns his face towards Jerusalem, and all the action is headed there, even the last week leading up to his crucifixion, which in most of our Gospels, by the way, is given about a third of each of the Gospel. Kind of an important time, kind of a strong emphasis on a particular moment in the life of Jesus. And of course, Easter and resurrection. Let's try that on a little bit here this morning at the end of the church year. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Alleluia. And that's why we're here every Sunday. That's what we celebrate every Sunday, even if it's been a few Sundays now, a few dozen of them, since we last did that. Pentecost, the Spirit is given. He is the Comforter, and he illumines the Scripture, all of Scripture for us, that looking in all of God's Word, which at the time meant all of the Old Testament, what would we find there? That we would find that it's all about Jesus. For us, for all, for God's people, past, present, and future. And then again, ushers in that uninspiring named ordinary time. All the time from spring until now. Again, with all of this being the case, that means that today is the last day of the church year. To this point, everything has been ordered and orderly. But now, did you catch it in our text today from Mark chapter 13? It almost sounds like something out of the book of Revelation. It's prophecy. That's wild prophecy. It's even chaotic and confusing, you could say. Let's read just a little bit of it again, beginning at verse 24. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the power of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great glory and power. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Darkness and falling stars and shaking heavens, oh my. In fact, the mysterious and disconcerting nature of this text has led some people to attempt to, I'll put air quotes around it, figure it out. Figure it all out. To predict fully what it means, and even more fully, to predict when all of these things will happen. They do this despite Jesus' warning to not do this very thing. No one knows the time, not the angels, not even the Son, only the Father, and yet they're prone to do it. Unhappy about the chaos and the confusion, they'll stake their stake, I suppose, and some date on the calendar and say, he's coming here and now and then. And those days have come and gone. I even remember being back in Grand Rapids in the early 2000s. I forget who it was at the time doing it nationally, but there were billboards announcing the day and the hour and the minute when Christ would come again. And those billboards have since been pasted over many times. But if we don't solve the chaos and mystery, then what do we do with it? Maybe that's our sympathetic question to such people. First, hear this. We take some measure of comfort from it. How so? Well, to a well-ordered and helpful church calendar, suddenly a bit of chaos and confusion enters in. On the last Sunday of the church year, no doubt, no less. This is much like the lived experience of saint sinners like us. Order has come to our lives. Here in this place, we have order, a church calendar for one. Or outside this place, order has come to our lives, or we seek order, we grab hold of it. Vocational and civic order. The days have names, and they have a cadence, and they regularly run their cycle from Monday to Sunday, at least on my calendar. A civic calendar also includes Thanksgiving and turkey trots and Christmas lights and all of that. There's work calendars and sports calendars and more. And still, no matter how orderly we make it, doesn't chaos and confusion enter our very own lives? Our text today is chaotic and confusing, and so are our lives. News and events from without, about the state, the nation, the world, or about family and friends and acquaintances, about distress and disease and death. And as if that weren't enough, then we get news from within. When all that quiets down and we hear this cacophony, we hear doubt and fear and grief. We have guilt and shame and despair, temptation and sin and regret. And here, as we're in the Gospel of Mark this year and have been for some time, the word that comes to mind to sinners like us is repent, repent again, and again I will say repent. Yes, the chaotic and confusing vision of Jesus meets hearts and lives and people that know the confusion and chaos very well. And this, in a sense, is a slight comfort, a first comfort, that Jesus comes and he meets us. But you know, when I'm in trouble, I don't just need people to meet me where I'm at. I need someone to come my way and lead me out of trouble to safety. And so how wonderful it is then that in the midst of the chaotic vision that Jesus gives us here in Mark chapter 13, he also gives us some very clear things that we can really stand on and rest on and hang on to even as he hangs on to us. First, right after revealing the chaos in the cosmos, Jesus turns his attention to the fig tree, a tree that the disciples knew very well, even if it's sort of, foreign to us. He says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that the summer is near. so also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. Just yesterday, Megan and I walked in the woods outside of Sugarloaf. And if you've been in the woods, particularly a few hundred feet above here on the south side of the valley, you will run into acorns galore. And I can think to just this past spring when we were walking in the woods after a long winter, those very same woods, and the oak trees began to bud out. And we knew, though we don't know a fig tree from a mango tree, I suppose, except for by its fruit, we know oak trees. And when you see that oak tree bud out, we also know exactly what Jesus mentioned here, that summer is near. And we know even more than that, that given enough time, even the oak trees will give up their fruit, the very acorns we saw yesterday. Even so it is with the fig tree, and even so it is with you. There is chaos and turmoil in the cosmos and in the world. It is disorientating, yes. But to those of us in Christ Jesus, it is also a sign. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates, Jesus says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. In Flushing, Michigan, at New Hope Lutheran Church, the church we were blessed to be at for 11 years, and I served as their pastor for 11 years, we were blessed in that time to have an amazing local artist, a Lutheran artist, in fact, a nationally known and internationally known Lutheran artist these days, Ed Riojas, paint a depiction of the risen Christ behind our altar on a wall that had been blank, void of anything, for the whole life of the church. It was the crucified risen Christ, and to say that he's the crucified risen one is to say he's alive. But he bore the marks and bears the marks of his crucifixion. Scars in his hands, his side, and in his feet. Risen, which is to say alive, and in that depiction at that church, giving the sign of peace. How awesome is that? Every Sunday coming in, receiving that. Or we're on a wedding day, the sign of peace. Or on the day of a funeral, when a casket lays there, a sign of his peace and life to come. And Ed Riojas drew that, painted that on that wall, just as we asked him to do. But then he did something for me, the pastor, or all pastors after that, that we did not ask him to do. On a bulkhead up high, which would sort of be the equivalent of the back of this beam right here, he put a very simple cross, and when you have a very simple cross, you have four quadrants around that cross, and then he put four letters, V, D, M, A, which means verbum, domini, manet, aeternum, which means the word of the Lord remains forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The word of the Lord remains forever, at least one of the ways Jesus goes about saying that. That was a comfort for a pastor who was trying to care for the church, tend the church, and yet sometimes the pastor would want to stand up front and almost give up, throw your hands up, right? What is going on? There's not just chaos out there, but sometimes there's chaos in here. And we feel helpless, even as we do sometimes in our own families, with our children, with each other, with parents, with siblings. We want to throw our hands up, and yet there is the promise of Jesus that even though the world is chaotic around you, the word of the Lord remains forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And those words are God's words in Christ Jesus. And they include the following: your sins are forgiven. You have much reason to repent. Repent again and again, I say repent. Yet greater, much greater than your repentance is his forgiveness. Those words from Jesus that will never pass away include, I baptize you into my name, and I'm with you always, and my peace is with you always. Whether we are looking at the chaos and confusion of the world outside the church, outside of our homes, or inside the church and in our homes, or the chaos and confusion in the mirror, still we have the sign and the promise. Verse 29, so also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. And then Jesus continued in our text, but concerning the day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. And this is when he gives a second depiction, not just the fig tree, but something else we can know very easily. He says, it is like a man going on a journey who leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. To the chaos and confusion, Jesus gives this second clear picture. A master on a journey. A master is traveling for a bit, but he will be back. Remain awake. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Keep awake. On this day, we celebrate the whole church year. What is past and what is soon to come. And we acknowledge chaos and confusion. Out there and in here and in here. Yes, we do all that, yet in it all, Jesus is our gracious Lord and Savior. He is coming again in fullness in his second coming, and so we remain alert and working. And strange as it sounds, some of the chaos around us is a sign that he will soon return in fullness, ushering in a new and better and never changing, never stopping, never thwarted, eternal age. And still, even as we look to the age to come, he has come already once. And he is wonderfully present now in the places where he has told us, in the preaching of the good news. And that preaching includes a season where we focus on the promise of his coming. And then his birth. And then his birth as a light to the Gentiles and the Jews. And then his path to the cross and the grave. And then his path out of the grave, where he goes on a world tour of peace, you could say. And then the giving of his Spirit and the opening of the scriptures. And the preaching of the good news even falls upon ordinary days, in ordinary time. And the preaching of his good news especially falls on days of chaos and confusion, where he is present in baptism, in absolution, in the Lord's Supper, and in the gathering of his saints, where two or more are gathered, and today qualifies even at our small church, we're well beyond that, where two or more are gathered in his name, where we share with each other the mutual conversation and consolation of the people of God in the body of Christ. And so take heart, dear church. Keep watching. God's best word, Jesus, has been spoken over us and will continue eternally to be spoken and preached and placed upon us now and always. And God's people say, Amen.